is normal, I'm afraid. I can't give you Darvon or Darvocet because they might put you in a coma or cause you to go into cardiac arrhythmia. How much do you weigh, Mr. Halleck? 125? About that, Billy muttered. There was a scale in the bathroom, and he had stepped on it before going out to the camp of the gypsies. It was his own bizarre form of pep rally, he supposed. The needle had centered on 118. All the running around in the hot summer sun had helped to speed things up considerably. Fander nodded with a little moo of distaste. I'm going to give you some fairly strong Emprin. You take one single tablet. If you're not dozing off in half an hour, and if your hand is still very, very painful, you can take another half. And you go on like that for the next 3 or 4 days. He shook his head. I just flew 600 miles to give a man a bottle of Emprin. I can't believe it. Life can be very perverse. But considering your weight, even Emprin's dangerous. It ought to be baby aspirin. Fander removed another small bottle from his bag, this one unmarked. Oreomycin, he said. Take one by mouth every 6 hours. But mark this well, Mr. Halleck. If you start having diarrhea, stop the antibiotic at once. In your state, diarrhea is a lot more apt to kill you than an infection from this wound. He snapped the bag shut and stood up. One final piece of advice that has nothing to do with your adventures in the Maine countryside. Get some potassium tablets as soon as possible and begin taking 2 every day. One when you get up, one when you go to bed. You'll find them at the drugstore in the vitamin section. Why? If you continue to lose weight, you will very soon begin to experience instances of heart arrhythmia, whether you take Darvon or any other drug. This sort of arrhythmia comes from radical potassium depletion in the body. It may have been what killed Karen Carpenter. Good day, Mr. Halleck. Fander let himself out into the first mild light of dawn. For a moment, he only stood there looking toward the sound of the ocean, which was very clear in the stillness. You really ought to get off whatever hunger strike you are on, Mr. Halleck, he said without turning around. In many ways, the world is nothing but a pile of shit, but it can also be very beautiful. He walked toward a blue Chevrolet that was idling at the side of the building and got into the back seat. The car moved off. I'm trying to get off of it, Billy said to the disappearing car. I'm really trying. He closed the door and walked slowly back to the small table beside his chair. He looked at the medicine bottles and wondered how he was going to open them one-handed. Billy ordered a large lunch sent in. He had never been less hungry in his life, but he ate all of it. When he was done, he risked taking 3 of Fander's Emprin, reasoning that he was putting them on top of a turkey club sandwich, French fries, and a wedge of apple pie that had tasted quite a bit like stale asphalt. The pills hit him hard. He was aware that the pain transmitter in his hand had suddenly been reduced to a mere 5,000 watts, and then he was cavorting through a feverish series of dreams. Gina danced across one of them, naked except for gold hoop earrings. Then he was crawling through a long, dark culvert toward a round circle of daylight that always, maddeningly, stayed the same distance away. Something was behind him. He had a terrible feeling it was a rat, a very large rat. Then he was out of the culvert. If he had believed that would mean escape, he had been wrong. He was back in that starving Fairview. Corpses lay heaped everywhere. Yard Stevens lay sprawled in the middle of the town common, his own barber's shears driven deep into what remained of his throat. Billy's daughter leaned against the lamppost, nothing but a bunch of jointed sticks in her purple and white cheerleader's outfit. It was impossible to tell if she was really dead like the others, or only comatose. A vulture fluttered down and landed on her shoulder. Its talons flexed once, and its head darted forward. It ripped out a great swatch of her hair with its rotting beak. Bloody strands of scalp still clung to the ends, as clumps of earth clung to the roots of a plant which had been roughly pulled out of the ground. And she was not dead. Billy heard her moan, saw her hands stir weakly in her lap. No! He shrieked in this dream. He found he had the girl's slingshot in his hand. The cradle was loaded not with a ball bearing, but a glass paperweight that sat on a table in the hall of the Fairview house. There was something inside the paperweight, some flaw, that looked like a blue-black thunderhead. Linda had been fascinated with it as a child. Billy fired the paperweight at the bird. It missed, and suddenly the bird turned into Tadus Lemke. A heavy thudding sound started somewhere. Billy wondered if it was his heart going into a fatal spell of arrhythmia. I never take it off, white man from town, Lemke said. And suddenly Billy was somewhere else, and the thudding sound was still going on. He looked stupidly around the motel unit, at first thinking this was only another locale in his dreams. William, someone called from the other side of the door. Are you in there? Open this up or I'm going to break it in. William! William! Okay, he tried to say, and no sound came out of his mouth. His lips had dried and gummed shut. Nevertheless, he felt an overwhelming sense of relief. It was Ginelli. William? Will... Ah, fuck. This last was in a lower I'm-talking-to-myself voice, and was followed by a thump as Ginelli threw his shoulder against the door. Billy got to his feet, and the whole world wavered in and out of focus for a moment. He got his mouth open at last, his lips parting with a soft rip that he felt rather than heard. That's okay, he managed. That's okay, Richard. I'm here. I'm awake now. He went across the room and opened the door. Christ, William, I thought you were... Ginelli broke off and stared at him, his brown eyes widening and widening until Billy thought, he's gonna run. You can't look that way at anyone or anything and not take to your heels as soon as you get over the first shock of whatever it was. Then Ginelli kissed his right thumb, crossed himself and said, are you gonna let me in, William? Ginelli had brought better medicine than Fander's, Shivas. He took the bottle out of his calfskin briefcase and poured them each a stiff hooker. He touched the rim of his plastic motel tumbler to the rim of Billy's. Happier days than these, he said. How's that? That's just fine, Billy said, and knocked the shot off in one big swallow. After the explosion of